how time flies, and I always try to write the date down on the back so I can keep up where I'm at and when I preached it. And the last time we looked at the early church there in the book of Acts was on 4:7:24. And we looked at the thought there in Acts chapter 13, verses 43 to 52 on publishing the word of God. And I looked at that word published, as it was a Greek word, diaphoreo, and it describes actions. Its meaning was to bear or carry through any place, to carry in different ways. And we looked at several thoughts about that. We looked at the preaching of the word of God there in verses 43 to 44. And we find that they desired the Word of God. And, you know, if there's ever been a time people need to desire the Word of God, we've got to the point where people want everything but preaching. They want programs. They want activities. But they don't want much preaching. They want a little bit of preaching and a whole lot of activities and a whole lot of fellowship. And we need preaching like never before. We need to get back to the old-time preaching. When the preachers would mount the pulpit filled with the Holy Ghost, they had prayed themselves full, and they'd end up preaching themselves empty. And we see they did not only they desired to hear the Word of God, but they determined to hear the Word of God. I promise you, if you get a determination in your heart that you're going to serve God, that you're going to live for Him, you'll be determined to hear the Word of God. There's no excuse for not hearing preaching today. In this time that we're living in, you can go online on YouTube. There's messages. Hey, there's any kind. There's trash stuff out there. There's good stuff. Hey, there's Bible preaching. I've got several churches that I like to listen to, and I mean, they have preaching. I will listen to Pleasant View up here. You know, we listen to them in Kentucky, and I've been listening to them this week, and man, they had preaching every day. You know, most people can't digest that much preaching. They don't want it, but they pack the house out. And them little old kids that goes to school there, and they're teaching them how to, they're talented. They've got instruments. But the emphasis and the primary thing is the preaching of the Word of God. And I thank God for places like that where we can go and hear good Bible preaching. Preaching that'll challenge you. There's not much challenging today. Everybody wants to feel good about themselves, you know. And preaching ain't designed to make you feel good. I mean, a lot of times it makes you feel bad. Paul said to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. One-third of that preaching was exhortation. The rest of it was reproving and rebuking. But we've got to the point and place that that's a hate crime now when you go rebuking people. And people can't handle it. You know what they'll do? Hey, they don't have to stay here. They'll go over yonder somewhere else where somebody don't preach to them, don't tell them the truth. And I'm not talking about beating people over the head. I'm not talking about beating them up and leaving them out in the road dead. I'm talking about preaching to them Bible that'll help them. And we're responsible. So we see not only that they determined to hear the Word of God, but they displayed change from the Word. This Bible will change you. You've come here too late to tell me that this Bible, if you get a steady diet of the Word of God, if you'll read it on a regular basis, you'll prayerfully read it, hey, this Bible will change you. It'll change your thinking. Paul told that bunch of Romans over in the book of Romans. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And he goes on, that second verse said, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hey, our minds are a mess. Our minds are a mess. Hey, you know what happened in the book of Genesis? Their mind got wrong. They got to thinking wrong. They got to doubting God. They got to questioning God. And that's where we're at today. And if you're not careful, if you don't have the right kind of heart, if you've never been to that place where God has changed you and He's changing you through the preaching of the Word of God, hey, you'll get some wrong thinking about things. Yeah, there's a lot of this bunch that they call them recovering fundamentalists. What is a recovering fundamentalist? What are they recovering from? Recovering from truth. Last time I read, the Bible said, and you should know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And I thank God for preaching. And so, then we looked at the second thing was the persecution of the preachers, verses 45 to 50. Hey, the book of Acts, when you get in there, is filled with persecution. for little more than preaching the gospel, the good news that Jesus had died, was buried, resurrected again the third day. I'm going to tell you, religion makes people mean. Jesus will make people love, but religion will make people hate you. And so we see the persecution of the preachers. Number one, the Jews were jealous because they seen a lot of their people that was believing the gospel and trusting the gospel. And then the Jews were blasphemous. They spake evil against that way. They hated that way. And there's people still today that hates that way. You look around and we got that liberal MSN news comes up on our computer there at the house, the main one, and I'll look at those things and I get to looking at those headlines. All of them are most of it's anti-Trump and all kinds of stuff, but it's anti-Christianity too. They're writing articles about Christians and why people are not believing different things today, why they're not going the way of Christianity anymore, and they're just shedding doubt in people's minds. But we see then the third thing we looked at there in verses 46 to 49 and 51 to 52 was the proclamation to the Gentiles, and how that Paul turned to the Gentiles, and because the Jews counted themselves unworthy, hey, that he turned to the Gentiles and began to preach the gospel to them. And we see that the word was received there, and the Gentiles were saved, and the word was being published throughout there at Antioch and Pisidia, was turned upside down through the preaching of the word of God. Preaching is still work today. Now, we're not seeing a lot and hearing a lot. When I was growing up, it wasn't nothing to hear of a revival meeting and a good number of people getting saved, carrying them down the river, baptized in the baptismal pool, wherever they were doing that. But anyway, there was something happening. I'd like to see that again, wouldn't you? We need revival. If there's ever been a day that you and I as believers need revival, it's today. We've not seen things happen much. But we see the word produce fruit there in the proclamation of the gospel as they were publishing the word of God throughout. And I want to look at real quick this evening. I won't spend a lot of time. I wasn't going to spend a lot of time rehashing all that, but I wanted to get us up to date since it's been so long since we had looked in the book of Acts. And I've just got a few thoughts that we'll give you this evening. And then we'll go to the house. But Acts chapter 14. And I'm not looking at every verse per se. I've just been looking at some. I may quit. You know, I thought about, well, y'all might be getting tired of hearing about that early church. You know, hey, but there's a lot of activity going on at the book of Acts in the early church. You can just find some where Paul and them was preaching. Things was happening. People were getting saved. And it ought to encourage us to know that God's the same. God is the same. God's not the author of confusion. The devil is. He's confusing people today. There's so many different denominations today. Hey, people think just because they go to some little liberal church somewhere and they get a little sermonette on Sunday mornings and sing a few songs, they don't know what they believe. People don't know what they believe. And you'd be surprised at people in the independent Baptist churches that don't know what they believe. That don't know what the functionality of the church is and what we're supposed to be doing, how we're supposed to be conducting ourselves in the house of God. And this Bible is filled with the teachings, and every era of time, I believe, things are happening. Things may be done a little bit different, but it's all basically related to how God said for us to carry on our churches. And I'm glad to see that still going on 2,000 years later, after the ascension of Christ. Hey, that God's still got a remnant that's preaching the truth. And when he comes back, the Bible said, and he insinuated over there in one of the Gospels, nevertheless, when the Son of Man returns, shall he find faith. There's a little bit of an insinuation there that he might not find faith, but I believe that wasn't that insinuation that he was making, but I believe there'll be little pockets of faith. Because God said that, told Elijah, said, I've got 7,000 that's not bowed the knee to Baal. So I believe that God will find some little pockets of Christianity, of the truth, where the gospel has been preached, where people are still being saved and where people are growing into grace. You can grow if you want to. You can grow if you want to. If anybody's been in church for 10, 15, 20 years, they ought to have grown a little bit. If they've come to the house of God and sat under some preaching, I don't care if they didn't pay attention half the time. Hey, I slept through my young years there and some of my teenage years. Hey, but I learned some things. I catch some things. And thank God that I've got beyond that now. I don't sleep on the preachers no more. They left me at church one time on the back bench. Somebody come turn the lights off when I was a boy. And my cousin and them was supposed to bring me home. Daddy and them had went somewhere, and I'd stayed, and they was going to let me come home with them that night. And I was probably 8, 9, 10 years old, and I was back there sound asleep. Everybody done left, and Travis Riles fixing to turn the lights off. E&M had went off and left me. So I've got some good sleep in church before. But I'm going to tell you, I still learned some things even in those times when I was awake. And I didn't just sleep all the time. I'm just saying that, trying to be funny. And that ain't real funny that anybody sleeps. And my daddy one day, and I told this, and I'm afraid to hurt a young lady's feeling. I didn't mean anything by it. Probably this is what she got upset about. But her daddy, great, good man. They were good people and a blessing to the church. But he was bad to go to sleep, and he'd sit there on the front, and he'd nod, and he'd just about go over, and he'd say, "Amen." One Sunday, Daddy was in a big way preaching. He come around, grabbed him by the knee, and he said, "Bro Whitlock, you ain't going to sleep on me, are you? Or are you already gone?" But Bro Whitlock didn't get mad. You know why? He had the right spirit. I mean, as far as I know, he didn't get mad. If he got mad, he didn't blow up like a bullfrog and go home and didn't come back. They were back the next Sunday. And anyway, well, that's enough of that. Acts chapter 14, verses 1 through 7. Bible said, "And it came to pass in Iconium." I like this verse right here. Listen to this verse. "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake." Did you get that? "And so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, in part helped with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were ware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a..." Well, that's far enough. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you again for the opportunity that we have to be in your house this evening, Lord. I pray that you'd help us for just a little bit. Lord, I pray that you stir our hearts around the Word of God, Lord. Just give us some extra thoughts to go with this message this evening, Lord. It might be an encouragement, Lord. When we read about that early church and the things that they went through to be able to worship you and to be able to hear the Word of God, the persecutions that they faced, Lord, and it makes us feel ashamed sometimes at the how we feel about the little things that comes in our lives and the discouragements, Lord, and the discouraging feelings, Lord, that maybe we get sometimes in realizing that they have so much greater things to face than we do as your people. Lord, I pray now that you'd help us for just a little bit. Give us receptive hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, as we try to bring this message. Lord, anoint us fresh. Lord, we said many times, this is one place we can't and don't want to stand alone. We need your help. We need your touch. Have your way, and we'll be careful to praise you and give you the glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake, amen. I want to look at this passage of Scripture this evening, verses 1 to 7, and give you a thought on boldness in the ministry. Boldness in the ministry. And as you study Paul's first missionary journey, you see he and Barnabas move from Antioch and Pisidia to Iconium, about 85 miles to the southeast. Iconium was a cultural melting pot. There were Greeks, Jews, and Roman colonists all living together. You can see the characteristics of faithful servants throughout the missionary journeys. The key characteristic, I believe, in looking at the book of Acts is boldness. You'll find out what happened when they got filled with the Spirit. Hey, they would go out, they would speak the Word of God with boldness. Why we're so timid a lot of times is, let's just face it, let's just be real. Hey, we're not filled with the Spirit. Hey, you may be filled with the Spirit today, and if you don't stay close to God, if you don't stay on your knees, hey, you're still indwelt by the Spirit, but I'm going to tell you, there's a continual, that filling. Be not drunk with wine, where it says, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Hey, that's a continual filling. You need it every day. You need to stay with God. You need to get in His Word. You need to have that time of fellowship. Hey, but someone says some people act bold, but in reality, they're not really smart. They're like a bulldog chasing a locomotive. What is the dog going to do when he gets it? We can be wise in our spirits this evening. We can accomplish something, I believe, in 2024 for the Lord, just as they have in times past. If we'll get to that point in place, hey, that we'll get bold in the ministry, and we'll reach out, and we'll not be shy in giving the gospel out. Can I say, hey, the gospel is the power of God. It's the dynamite of God. It still works today. Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But we see in Acts chapter 4 there, in verse 13, the Bible said, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, I'm glad that boldness is evident in the life of individuals that are filled with the Spirit. You can sense that boldness when a man of God gets up to preach and the Holy Spirit anoints him and he can speak forth the Word of God and not fear the faces of the individuals that's sitting there looking at him. It takes the feeling and the power of God to be able to preach a sermon, hey, that will get the attention. That's what they said there in verse 1. Said they so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also the Greeks, believed. And he goes on and said there, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They knew these men. They weren't educated. Everybody thinks they got to have a doctor or something tagged on their name. Nothing wrong with that. I ain't got a bit of problem with that. But, you know, that doctor won't help you preach. I've seen a lot of, my pastor used to say that a lot of people got a PhD that ain't got a J-O-B. And how true that is. Education won't get you a job. Hey, it's going to take hard work. It's going to take wanting and to accomplish something in your life. Hey, and use that. It don't matter if you don't have an education. God has given us a good mind, a lot of it, to be able to do things for Him. We ought to use that. And the main thing is to get filled with the Holy Ghost. If we get filled with the Holy Ghost, hey, then you can go out and witness to people. You can tell them about Jesus without any fear. And said, and they marveled, and they took knowledge of them. Listen to this phrase, that they had been with Jesus. I'm going to tell you, when you get bold to witness, when you get bold to tell men and women, boys and girls about Jesus, then people begin to notice that you've been with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, we ought to want people to see. Hey, we ought to want to be like the apostles here. Hey, when they went out and they began to preach and they began to speak, the Bible said they so spake. It wasn't all about what they were saying. It was the way that they were saying it. It took some boldness. It took some stamina to go on for God during those times of persecution. Read the life of Paul, and if anybody had a reason to quit, hey, Paul had a reason to throw in the towel. I get sick of hearing these belly-aching babies that talks about how hard it is to serve God. Hey, you ought to have to go back and go on a missionary journey with the Apostle Paul and face what he had to face during that time. Hey, most of the time, the people we run into, everybody knows a little bit about Christianity. We're in the Bible Belt, and there's very few people. Hey, there's some people that's never heard a clear presentation of the gospel, but hey, there's very few people that don't know about Jesus. They may have a misconception of who He is. Hey, most of the time, the messages you hear in this world, in this system that's being preached today, they're not preaching the Jesus of this Bible. They're preaching to Jesus, but they're preaching another Jesus, like Paul warned them over there in Galatia. So, we're looking here at the boldness in the ministry. First of all, we see the powerful preaching at Iconium there in verse 1. We see they were preaching in the Spirit. The last statement regarding the ministry there in Antioch was that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Turn back over to Acts chapter 4, verses 8 to 10. Chapter 8, verses 8 to 10. Chapter 4, verses 8 to 10. The Bible said, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now, I'm going to tell you, Peter just preaching this preaching to these individuals and the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that was on him, when he began to tell them what they had done, that's what got him in trouble. You tell people how good they are and what an impact they're having on other people, and you won't get much opposition. You go to telling men that they're sinners, that they need to be saved, hey, that they're wretched, they're blind, that they're in darkness, and that they need a Savior, and that Jesus is the Savior. And you begin to preach that in the power and anointing of the Holy Ghost, you're either going to get a good response or you're going to get a bad response. Religion will usually lash out at you. Again, Ephesians 5:18 said, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Hey, we need and must have the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't come in here and function as a body without the power and anointing of the Holy Ghost this evening. We might could do a lot of things in the energy of the flesh, but we won't accomplish very much. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. So we see the powerful preaching at Iconium and the Spirit. We see at the synagogue. I mean, they went to the synagogue. That's where Paul, if you'll read through the book of Acts, hey, you'll find that when he'd go into the towns there, he would look for a synagogue. Now, a synagogue was the place where the Jewish people gathered for the reading of the Old Testament scriptures. It was a common practice there, they say, to ask visitors if they had something to say to those in attendance. Hey, you get in trouble today. You go to asking visitors to get up and say something. But they knew Paul. They knew who he was. And no doubt they'd heard some things about Paul, but they would still invite him to come and preach. And Paul frequently would find that he took advantage of this custom to preach the gospel there to the Jewish people. And a lot of times it got him in trouble. And this preaching that he preached in these synagogues was no doubt based on the Old Testament passages that was pointing to Jesus. He might have took Isaiah 53 and he preached Jesus unto him, just like Philip did, the Ethiopian eunuch. The Bible said he got up in the chariot with him and he took the book of Isaiah and he began to preach Jesus unto him. So we see the powerful preaching at Iconium in the Spirit at the synagogue. And then we see what happened. It resulted in salvation. Hey, I'm glad that the preaching of the cross this evening will produce a result, and it'll result in people getting saved. If you can get people saved and they hear the gospel, they hear the good news that Jesus has died, was buried, and resurrected, and simply by faith, believing and trusting Him and appropriating that free gift to your life, it'll result in salvation almost every time. 1 Corinthians 1:18, we preached Sunday about the cross. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Preaching still works this evening. When the man of God that's filled with the Spirit of God opens the Word of God and faithfully proclaims it, people will get saved. Now, it's not very frequent in this day. We hear of some getting... I heard that meeting up yonder. There was one young man that got saved there, and that great host of people that was there, some of the best and tremendous preaching that took place, one soul got saved, and it was worth it. A lot of times preaching is to encourage God's people to get them fired up, get them stirred up, that they might go out and win people and see people saved. I'm inclined to believe if we got filled with the Holy Ghost this evening and we went out and we were faithful in doing what God has called us to do, to be soul winners in this hardened world that we're still living in, hey, people will get saved. People will get saved. So we see the powerful preaching there at Iconium, it resulted in people getting saved. And we find that Paul was faithful in preaching. We need to get back to preaching, just plain preaching the Word of God. So not only the powerful preaching at Iconium, but then we see the continual persecution against the gospel there in verses 2, verse 4, and 4 through 5. We live in a world that praises dead saints and persecutes live ones. Hey, how sad that is today that people are still being persecuted on planet Earth, hey, for serving God. Some countries that they have to meet privately. They can't gather together like we're here this evening. So we see the continual persecution against the gospel. We see, first of all, we see the persecution from unbelievers. That word assault means to rush. Hey, we shouldn't expect anything different today. Hey, if we're going to preach the truth, it's going to rub the grain of some individuals and sometimes even lost people. Most of the time, lost people are more receptive to it than people that are just religious. Religious people are the ones that normally will get mad at you. Hey, but people that are lost, they know they're lost. Hey, usually they're pretty receptive to it. But here we find, hey, there was persecution from the unbelievers. In Rome, they tell us that the crowds by thousands came to watch Christians be torn apart by wild animals in the Colosseum. Those that refused to accept the gospel responded to the conviction they were feeling by attempting to silence those who were preaching the truth. And you'll find in the early part of Paul's life there that he was even consenting to the death of Stephen. And then conviction got a hold of his soul. And I believe there when they laid down those clothes at the feet of Saul, that young man that had those letters, he was casting people into prison. He was even consenting to the death of Stephen. I believe he got under conviction at that point in time. And it goes on in chapter 9, we find, hey, that he comes on the Damascus Road, and what happens? He gets saved. Hey, that's what conviction will do to an individual. A person sees themselves, hey, they realize where they're at, and then we'll see people get saved. But we find that a lot of times, though, people have hardened their heart against the gospel. Those unbelievers, hey, they're just dead against the Christianity. They're dead against Christ. Hey, they don't want nothing to do with Jesus. They don't want nothing to do with the church. Hey, they don't want nothing to do with God. They're just unbelievers, and that's a lot of times that's where the persecution comes from. Then we see not only the persecution from unbelievers, but we see the posturing against the gospel message. The words evil affected means that the minds of the Gentiles were poisoned. Hey, there's always somebody that's trying to poison the minds of individuals. They're not saved and they don't want nobody else to get saved. They try to corrupt and they try to tear down everything that God is doing and using individuals. The Jews were poisoning a public opinion against Paul. They were trying to turn people against him. And you find that all through the Bible. You find that Paul, as I mentioned before, he suffered. And you go over there, 1 Corinthians, I believe it is, where he tells of all the things that he faced. Just for a little more, Brother Melvin, than just preaching the gospel. I can't hardly imagine that. Melvin lives up in Virginia. There's a lot of history of Christianity up in there and then on up in the New England states. And those martyrs that gave their life and they suffered for the cause of Christ, for just wanting to serve God in the right way and preach the gospel. So we see the posturing against the gospel message. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4, the Bible said, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Psalms 39, verse 1, the Bible said, I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. These Jewish leaders here took a public role in speaking out against Paul and Barnabas, trying to turn people against them. Eventually, they succeeded in convincing enough people of their point of view that it moved from verbal accusations to threats and to violence. I'm going to tell you, people can still be poisoned today. They're being poisoned through through this televangelism and some of this corrupt gospel that's going out, this health and wealth gospel that's being preached today. Hey, people are getting their minds poisoned through some of this. And it's sad that we see so many. But we live in a country where we have the freedom to believe what we want to believe. Hey, we can worship the way that we want to worship. So we see not only the persecution from unbelievers, the posturing against the gospel message, but then we see the polarizing of the town. Our natural minds want to think that all roads lead to the same place. I wonder this evening, whose side are we on? Some in Iconium believed the message of Paul and Barnabas, and many others sided with the lies of the Jewish leaders. As a result, the town was divided into two groups. The gospel always divides between those that receive it and those that reject it. So we see the polarizing of the town, the confusing and of what was taking place, and how these Jewish leaders were trying to tell lies and turning the people against. They seemed they were losing ground. They were losing ground. There was a lot of people. If you begin in Acts chapter 2, and the 3,000 that was saved, and then 5,000 that was saved, and then the Bible talks about a multitude of people that was getting saved. Boy, it'd be good to see people getting saved like that again, wouldn't it? Hey, I don't know what we're going to face before we get out of here, but I'm going to tell you, I'm glad that God is still faithful. So we see the continual persecution against the gospel. And then number three, and lastly, we see the faithful persistence of the missionaries here, verses 3 and verses 6 to 7. How they dealt with the opposition. How did they deal with the opposition? Through prolonged preaching. Hey, preaching still worked. Even in times of opposition, in times of persecution. Hey, they didn't give up. And it's sad today that we get so discouraged a lot of time because people are not receiving us. We get the feeling that nobody cares and nobody wants to hear. And it seems like that sometimes. But we ought not get discouraged. Acts chapter 14, verse 3 says they stayed and preached for what? For a long time. For a long time they stayed there. They didn't get discouraged by the opposition. They simply regarded it as a reason to increase their effort. And if there's ever been a time, we look around, we see things that's taking place. Hey, we see the unconcerned attitude of individuals, of the world. We see the unconcerned attitude of people in the church. Hey, we ought to be concerned about our church this evening, what's going on and what's going to happen to our church. Hey, we're just a few away from closing the doors if we don't stay true to God, if we don't get something going in our lives and get filled with the Holy Ghost, get concerned about individuals and begin to witness to people and bring people in. God don't want no church to close the door. And we're going to keep the doors open if we have to, just two or three of us foot the bill. I'm careful what I say, but I'm going to tell you, hey, this church is a light by the road, and it'd be sad and it'd be a shame, hey, for people to come down the road and see the open door had shut the doors. The lights were no longer burning. God's been good to us. Hey, we're paying the bills. I'd like to see the house full, but if it don't happen, hey, I'm not going to get discouraged and quit and throw in the towel. Just because somebody else ain't coming to church, I ain't going to quit. I want to continue on. I want to hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. So we see prolonged preaching. We want instant spirituality and results a lot of times. I told you back in 93 when we had the revival there at Harmony Street. God did something for me, Brother Darrell, I've never gotten away from. I've always said this and try to make it understood. I don't believe in the second work of grace, but there was something happened to me. I'd always went to church. I'd always paid tithes. We always carried our kids to church. We was there on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but I didn't read my Bible and pray like I should. I didn't study my Bible. I understood a few things, but really, in reality, there was a lot of things that was that I couldn't get a grasp on. And there's still a lot of things that I don't get a grasp on. But I promise you now, I know more than I did in 93. Because one thing, I began to study. I began to study. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Now, there's a lot of people that's reading and they're studying. Hey, but they're not rightly dividing the word of truth. Hey, I've seen some fanatical people, hey, that they don't know what they believe. They're confused as a termite and a yo-yo about things. And it's sad, but you can rightly divide it. That's why it's so important to get under biblical preaching. He said, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." And that's what we're seeing today. Hey, there's more religion in this world today, but there's more ungodliness than there's ever been. Our political system is filled with ungodliness. Hey, our political system is condoning wickedness. And they're opening the door for it. And it started back yonder when Obama and Biden was in office. Hey, when they opened the door for same-sex marriage. Hey, that's an abomination to God. It always has been and always will be. Faithful persistence, the prolonged preaching. They stayed there with it. Even though they might not have been seeing the results they wanted, they stayed with it. They kept preaching. They kept hammering on the rock. Jeremiah said that if we'll hammer on the rock, it'll break the rock in pieces eventually. Don't give up. Study. It's important to know what you believe. It's important to know what you believe. If you believe right, you'll live right. Let me say that again. If you'll believe right, you'll live right. If you'll be obedient to that Bible, if you'll not be rebellious to the Word of God and accept it and apply it to your life, but it's going to take believing it. It's going to take applying it. There's a lot of things that we read that we say, yeah, that's right, but that just don't fit for me. Hey, the Bible tells us how to order our homes, but it don't work for most people. Most people don't want to get that far along. They don't want to yield. Prolonged preaching. That's how they responded to the being faithful. The faithful persistence of the missionaries. The prolonged preaching. And then the bold preaching. So the bold preaching. How they deal with opposition? With bold preaching. They didn't shirk. They didn't run with their tails between their legs. They faced it and they stood up. We're told this was not necessarily just public preaching. It refers to personal witnessing as well. If you get filled with the Spirit, you're more prone and apt to witness to somebody. You know, we all come into contact with lost people every day. It's sad. It's no telling how many people, lost people, you confront and you come into contact with on a weekly basis. You and I. People that's just maybe looking for someone that's got enough boldness and they've got enough knowledge to take the Word of God. And some people say, well, I just don't know what to say. Well, you talk about everything else. You talk about sports. You talk about houses. You talk about pleasures and going places. What happened to you when you got saved? How did you get saved? You ought to memorize and hide enough word scriptures in your heart and in your mind that you could take and pull out some verses. Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all sin comes short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12, for whereby one man sin entered into this world, and death by sin passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then you can jump over there to Romans chapter 10. You say, that's the Romans road. The Romans world will work. There's nothing wrong with the Romans road. Hey, if the Holy Ghost is dealing and He's moving, hey, it'll tell you how to get saved. Bible says, with the heart men believe unto righteousness, with the mouth confessions made unto salvation. I'm talking about personal soul winning. knowing enough Scripture that if you run up on somebody that God's convicting, hey, you could get them saved right there. You don't have to bring them to church next Sunday. I got saved in church. I got married in church. Hey, I'm going to have my funeral in church. But you don't have to get saved in church. I've heard Brother Edgar said he got saved sitting on the mill house steps up there. He said he didn't say a word. He just looked up into heaven and accepted Jesus as his Savior. I've heard of different experiences. But it all boils down, we all got a little different experience, but we all come the same way. We get the facts that Jesus has died, was buried and resurrected again the third day. And then we believe that, we receive that into our heart. We accept that atoning sacrifice that He made. We see ourselves as a hell-deserving sinner and trust Him in the free pardon of sin. Excuse me. They had great liberty in the Lord. Their boldness didn't come from their own strength. They preached boldly in the Lord rather than in the flesh. There's a lot of bold flesh preaching today. And it's usually done in the wrong way. Robert Machine said, "I preached as if uncertain to ever preach again, as a dying man to dying men." Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, said, "But even after that, we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." Philippians chapter 1, verses 19 to 20, Paul said, "For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, whether it be by life or by death," we need to preach the gospel boldly. We need to preach holiness boldly. Not much holiness preaching anymore. Living holy. The Bible said, God said, "Be ye holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." It's still right to preach holiness. Boldly. It's right to preach faithfulness boldly. Not many people faithful no more. Wishy-washy. I have never seen such a world of wishy-washy people. They're in and out. They're up and down. They're shouting one week and they're gone the next. We had revival in 93 and there's a boy come out of the choir, man. Big old boy. He run back through there and he hit that doors in the back. They slung open. He busted the doors off the hinges. If I'd been a preacher, I'd have made him fix it. If there'd been a kid coming in back there, it would hurt him. And anyway, before the meeting was out, he was gone. We didn't see him or hear hiding a hair of him for months or years, for a couple of years probably. And then he turned up again, pastoring a church down there that his daddy started. And then he run off with a woman. You say, "I wouldn't tell that." Well, it's unfaithfulness. You get faithful, you won't have to worry about running off of somebody's wife or somebody's husband. We got to stay close to God. We've all got flesh to deal with. We got to reckon the flesh to be dead. Bible said, "There's no temptation overtaking you, but such as is common to man. But with every temptation, you make a way of escape." A lot of people just don't want the way of escape. They don't want the way of escape. Then we see the faithful persistence of the missionary was through prolonged preaching, through bold preaching, and through, number three, affirmed preaching. The Lord gave testimony with miraculous works. You read through the book of Acts, I mean, there was miracles. He was authenticating the message of the gospel with those miracles of the apostles. They so spake the word of God that people got saved. They stood for what was right. This is from the diary of John Wesley. "Sunday a.m., May 5th, preached at St. Anne's, was asked not to come back anymore. Sunday p.m., May 5th, preached at St. John's, deacon said get out and stay out. Sunday a.m., May 12th, preached at St. Jude's, can't go back there either. Sunday a.m., May the 19th, preached in St. Somebody else's. Deacons called special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday p.m., May the 19th, preached on the street, kicked off the street. Sunday a.m., May 26th, preached in a meadow, chased out of the meadow as a bull was turned loose during service. Sunday a.m., June the 2nd, preached out at the edge of town, kicked off the highway. Sunday p.m., June the 2nd, afternoon, preached in a pasture. 10,000 people came out to hear me. Hey, expect opposition. When Paul and Barnabas preached, their words were backed by the power of God. They were faithful. Even when they had to flee from Iconium, they preached the same gospel at Lystra. We need Christians today that's faithful, they're bold, and they're predictable and staying true to the Word of God. Let's pray. Lord, we praise you and thank you again for the opportunity to be in your house this evening. Thank you for these that have come back tonight. Lord, I thank you for those that are watching by the way of the webcast. Lord, I pray that you would help people this evening, Lord, to realize what that early church has went through. And Lord, if you don't come in our lifetime, we know it could get rough, but give us grace and give us faith. Help us to trust you during these perilous times in which we're living in. Lord, help us to keep the lights on at the house of God. Help us to keep, stay faithful in these perilous days that we're living in. Father, we love you and we thank you again for the church. And Lord, we love the church. And Lord, we want to see it prosper, Lord. And we want to see you do great things, Lord, in our day. Lord, we want to see revival. Lord, I just pray that you would touch us and help us. Give us grace, and we'll give you the glory for all that's accomplished. In Jesus' name, Jesus' sake, amen.